Have you ever watched a passenger fumble with a seatbelt latch while you're trying to get a taxi clearance? I have, and it taught me something. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about a regulation so short, so plain, that most pilots read it once during their written prep and never think about it again. Federal Aviation Regulation 91107, Use of Safety Belts. It's maybe a paragraph long, and yet it hides some of the most misunderstood responsibilities you carry as pilot in command. Let's walk through this together. Before we do, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter and to remember the ones that got you here. aviationsoul.com. Now, let's get into the rule. Here's what 91.107 actually says in plain language. Before takeoff, the pilot in command must make sure each person on board has been briefed on how to fasten and unfasten their safety belt and, if installed, their shoulder harness. That's the first piece, the briefing. Second piece, before takeoff and before landing, the pilot in command must ensure that each person on board has been notified to fasten their safety belt and shoulder harness. Notified, that's the word. Your job is to notify. And the third piece, the one people trip over during takeoff and landing, each person on board must actually be wearing that belt properly secured. Not draped, not loose, secured. Now, here's where the responsibility splits, and I want you to hear this carefully, because the examiner is looking for you to understand exactly who owns what. The pilot in command owns the briefing and the notification. You are responsible for telling people to buckle up, but the regulation says each person is responsible for actually keeping that belt fastened during taxi, takeoff, and landing, as long as they're able. A person old enough and physically able to fasten their own belt carries that duty themselves. So you notify. They comply. There's an exception for the very young and for those physically unable, and there are specific rules for small children that we'll get to. Let me give you the part that surprises people the most. Taxi. The shoulder harness rule and the seatbelt rule. They don't just apply to takeoff and landing. Read it closely. Safety belts must be worn during movement on the surface, during takeoff, and during landing movement on the surface. That means the moment the airplane starts to roll on the taxiway, every belt that can be fastened needs to be. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. I used to think of the seat belt as a takeoff item. Doors closed, belts on, ready to go. But the reg is broader than that. Taxi counts. And taxi is exactly where a lot of little accidents happen. A brake stab, a jet blast, someone else's prop wash, a tug that stops short. You're not going fast, but a sudden stop with an unbelted passenger reaching for a dropped phone can turn into a bloody nose or a cracked windshield with someone's forehead. So make it a habit. Belts on before you release the brakes. Now, let's talk about the shoulder harness specifically, because there's a nuance here that trips up even experienced pilots. The rule says shoulder harness if installed, and for takeoff and landing, if your seat has a shoulder harness, it must be used, unless the pilot in command determines that it would interfere with your ability to reach a required control or perform required duties. Read that again. The only out for not wearing your shoulder harness during takeoff and landing is if it stops you from doing something you need to do to fly the airplane. That's a narrow exception. It is not. I find it uncomfortable. It is not. It wrinkles my shirt. It's a functional exception for reaching a control. For most of us in a typical single-engine trainer, there is no control we can't reach with the harness on, so it stays on. Let me put some real numbers on why this matters, and I'm drawing here on decades of accident research from the National Transportation Safety Board and the FAA's own studies. In an accident, the difference between a lap belt alone and a lap belt plus shoulder harness is enormous. The shoulder harness is what keeps your upper body, your head, your face from pivoting forward into the panel and the yoke. Studies on general aviation crashes have found that shoulder harness use dramatically reduces serious injuries and fatalities in otherwise survivable accidents. The lap belt keeps you in the seat. The shoulder harness keeps your head off the instrument panel. And here's the thing, a lot of these accidents are survivable. The airframe does its job, the cabin stays largely intact, and people are still badly hurt, because the only thing between their face and the panel was 30 seconds, they didn't spend clicking a harness into place. That's the whole point of the rule. It's not bureaucracy, it's the accumulated lesson of thousands of crashes. Let's talk about children because this is where I get the most questions. Under the regulation, a child can be held by an adult in some operations, but let's be honest about what Part 91 allows and what's actually smart. The FAA strongly recommends, and I strongly recommend, that every child, no matter how small, be in an approved child restraint system, in their own seat, with their own belt. The FAA has a whole guidance push around this. The phrase they use is, "Your arms are not strong enough to hold a child in turbulence or in a sudden stop," and they're right. The physics don't care how much you love that kid. A few G's of deceleration and you cannot hold on. An approved restraint, the kind you'd use in a car with the label that says certified for use in aircraft, is the answer. So if you're flying your family, brief it, seat it, belt it, every person, every seat, every time. Now let me give you a scenario because that's how this stuff actually sticks. You're a fresh private pilot. First real trip with passengers. Your buddy and his wife in the back, your friend up front. Everybody's excited, you do your run-up, you're feeling good, you taxi out, and you're so focused on not messing up the radio call that you never actually briefed the belts. You just assumed everyone buckled. You take the runway, and as you add power out of the corner of your eye, you see your front seat passenger reaching down, fumbling, because his belt was twisted and he's just now sorting it out at 50 knots on the takeoff roll. Now his head is down, he's distracted. You're distracted watching him, and you've given away attention on the single most critical phase of flight, all because you skipped a 30-second briefing at the ramp. Here's how the pros handle it. Before you ever start to move, you turn around and you give the passenger briefing. There's an easy memory aid the FAA teaches. Safety, seat belts, and shoulder harnesses, how they work on, for taxi, takeoff, and landing. A, air vents, environment, and the air sickness bag, just in case. F, fire extinguisher, where it is. E, exits, how they open and where to go. T, traffic and talking, sterile cockpit. Please stay quiet during critical phases. Y, your questions, answer them now. That first letter is the whole ballgame for today's topic. Seat belts and harnesses, show them the latch, show them how to release it. Because in an emergency, a panicked passenger who can't find the release is a passenger who stays in a burning airplane. Have them buckle it in front of you. Watch it, click, 30 seconds, that's all it takes, and it satisfies the briefing requirement of 91.107, completely. Let me tie the notification piece together too, because there's a subtle part. The reg says notified before takeoff and before landing on a short flight. That's easy, you brief once and you're covered, but think about a longer cross-country where people have loosened their belts to stretch. Before you start down, before you set up for the approach, you owe them a notification. A simple, "All right everybody, belts and harnesses back on, we're getting ready to land." That's you meeting the regulation and keeping them safe in one sentence. And on the ground after landing, keep them on until you're clear and stopped. Movement on the surface, remember? Taxiing to the ramp still counts, so let's bring this home with the practical takeaways you can use on your very next flight. 1. Belts and harnesses go on before the airplane moves and they stay on until it stops. Taxi is not optional. 2. You, the pilot in command, own the briefing and the notification. Do the safety brief every time, even with pilots in the other seats. Especially with pilots, honestly, because we're the ones who think we're too experienced to need it. 3. The shoulder harness stays on for takeoff and landing unless it physically stops you from reaching a control. That's the only out. 4. Kids get their own seat and an approved restraint. Your arms are not a restraint system. 5. Before every descent, notify, belts back on before the approach. None of this is expensive. None of this is hard. It's the cheapest safety equipment in the airplane, and it's already installed. The only thing it costs you is the discipline to use it every single time, and the 30 seconds to make sure the people trusting you with their lives know how to use it too. Learning to fly is hard. It's expensive, it's humbling, and there's a lot to hold in your head. But this one's free. And it's the difference between a bad day and a funeral. My thanks to the FAA and the National Transportation Safety Board, whose accident research and guidance material underpin everything we talked about today. You can find more at radiohangar.com. Buckle them in, brief them well, and I'll see you back in the pattern.